I got a word on my heart today, straight from the throne of God. So get your Bibles, wave it. Let's see how many Bibles. Go ahead and wave the cell phone too. That's okay. That's what I use too. Hallelujah. Good. A lot of Bibles out there. How about at home? Wave your Bible. Come on, pick it up. I see it, but pick it up. There, that's better. Good. Wave it at me. Good. Hallelujah. No, I didn't really see that. I saw that in the spirit. You know, I've been on a series, all summer. And my father brought a good word last week. How about that? On the wind. We've been preaching about the new normal. And of course, we're talking a lot about the kingdom of God, which is the presence of God and the power of God at work on the earth today. And the thing that my dad was bringing out last week is the attributes of God are a lot like the wind. It's invisible, and yet it's everywhere. It's invisible, and yet it's life-giving. You know, it's where we draw oxygen out of the wind. It's invisible, and yet, you know, we know that it's real. We can't see it with our natural eye, but we can see the effects of the wind. When it blows, we see the trees blowing. We can feel it on our face. And the reality of the kingdom of God and the presence of God, the world can't see God until it's manifested through us. They can see the effects of God on our lives. They can feel the effects of God on their life. When God gets his power, his presence to us and through us to others, to where we're praying for others, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And the truth is, this pandemic sent by the devil, the plague, was designed to close the church, to close the mouths of the people of God, to get us bound up with fear instead of operating in faith. Come on, somebody. God didn't send this plague. God doesn't send sickness. God is a God of life. And it's been an opportunity for us to rise up. We were singing about we're salt and light, to be salt and light in the world, to be salt and light in the world. Let the redeemed of the Lord rise up and say so. And we're testifying, we're declaring the miracle working power of God. You know, in the early service, we have Brother Greg, who was brought into this church from a Catholic church one time, a year ago, and during the worship service, God opened up a blind eye, and he's been coming ever since, you know, but he's bringing his Catholic friends, you know, and this place is quite, some of you are Catholic charismatics now, and you know what I'm talking about. You know, but these Catholics, they come into this service and we're talking about miracles. And many times they're saying, where have I been? You know, I didn't know about this. But once you know about it, God not only wants to give you a miracle, but he wants you to become a sign and a wonder. And for you to show the effects of this invisible God to blow on others with the wonder-working power of God. Amen. Okay, some of you agree with me. But it's so important in the midst of all this crisis going on that we understand, we see the picture of God, the kingdom of God. I'm going to play a little video clip here just to get us started here, get us in the mood. Here we go. Watch this. His kingdom has come. His will is being done in this earth as it is in heaven. The culture of heaven being manifest on earth. We're making it visible. So I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 13. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But then the enemy came in and sowed some weeds, sowed the tares. Those are weeds. You know, we know that we get weeds in our gardens. We get weeds in our grass. But how many of you understand weeds come in life? Life has weeds. You know, I'm kind of a nut when it comes to weeds. I can't stand weeds. I've always said weeds are like sins. You know, they got to be dealt with. And so when I walk around this campus, my staff knows I'm always pulling weeds. Because I figure, you know, if I just pull a few weeds every time I pass that spot, maybe I can keep up with them. I don't know. But I'm pulling weeds when I walk up at the McDonald's. You know, I'm saying there's weeds here, you know. You know, it's crazy. But I want to talk to you today about the parable of the weeds, because this is a parable that Jesus said the kingdom of God is like this. And this is one of the parables that Jesus actually explained what it means. I want to help you understand what it means in the context of what we're walking through right now in this world and why the new normal, how we've got to live with a new normal. So here we are, verse 24, Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while everyone was sleeping, the enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you're pulling up the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let them grow together until the harvest. At that time, I'll tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and bring them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn." And if you slip down to verse 36, you see where Jesus explained the parable of the weeds. He left the crowd. He went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." Jesus answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be in the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out his kingdom, everything that causes sin, and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." You know, church, walking as a believer, being born again, and knowing your life is sealed in Christ for eternity is pretty good fire insurance. You know, I mean, that might be a good reason to come to Christ. But you know, having Christ in your life is so much more than that. It's so much better. It will help you through life here on earth where there are weeds. Weeds happen. I mean, weeds happen for the just and the unjust alike. The rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. We're discovering more recently, I'm hearing more pastors that have caught COVID, that are in the hospital. Sickness happens. Evil happens. Bad happens to good people. I know for some of you, you know, that are just, you know, you're just King James Version all the way. You don't want to believe that. But let me tell you something. COVID has hit people that don't believe in COVID. And it's hit them. All of the same symptoms and all come up and ultimately got tested. Some of them have died. Weeds happen among the wheat. How do we deal with it? And God gave me a revelation on this that I think is good for us to hear today. He said in this particular parable, don't pull them up. Don't focus on the weeds. Focus on the wheat. Now, I've got a parable of my own because in my yard, you know, I kind of live in the country, so I don't worry about my grass. My neighbors don't worry about their grass. We're kind of country. You know, some of you that live in these, you know, highfalutin subdivisions, if you don't take care of your grass, the HOA is going to contact you, right? Well, it's not so much in my yard, but I remember I was getting weeds one time a few years ago, this high, of the prickly kind in the winter, you know. And so one day I thought, you know what, I'm going to deal with these weeds. I'm going to take my Roundup, my weed killer, and I'm just going to very strategically target the weeds, you know. And I went through my yard and targeted those, felt so good about it. Well, a few days later, I had big brown patches. It killed all the grass around those big prickly weeds. I guess I did some overspray, I guess. But not only that, but I guess it kills it at the roots. And what happens is the weeds get entangled with the roots of the good grass. So that was a lesson to me. But you know, another lesson I learned is that in the summertime with all the rains and you throw some fertilizer out there, the weeds are no problem for the grass. The grass will overtake the weeds. And my lawn becomes beautiful in the summer because of all the rain that's come. I want you to apply this to your life. What the devil wants us to do is focus on the weeds. And so get so focused on the weeds that we get our eyes off Jesus. He's the wheat in our lives. He's the life that we have. And there's so many opportunities for that to happen in our lives. You know what I'm talking about? You start finding that the negatives coming out of your mouth when you're talking. I mean, I'm cautioning you about talking too much about the devil. You get chasing devils and looking for them under every rock. You know, you start coughing them out, you know, screaming them out. Listen, don't glorify the devil. Glorify Christ. You know, I've done a lot of deliverances in my life, and I've always seen the power of God overcome the devil. And anytime the devil tries to go Hollywood with me and starts acting up, coughing and all that stuff, I think, stop that. In the name of Jesus, stop that. We have authority to command the devil to stop all those theatrics. We're not going to go for that. We need to keep our eyes focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and the presence of God, the kingdom of God. And not allow all these weeds, and there's a lot of them. I mean, the world can be very complicated. Relationships can be very complicated. But Jesus said himself, in this world ye shall have tribulation. We know that the weeds will grow up, even for the righteous. The weeds will grow up, but we're going to keep our focus on the purpose and the plan of God. Let them grow together until the harvest. You know what? God can deal with weeds too. You know, he can turn weeds into wheat. God can do anything. But when we get our focus on the weeds, you've got your focus on the storm, your focus on the problems, and you're going to sink, even in the midst of the storm. After all, Jesus told the disciples, I'll see you on the other side. God's told you, you're an overcomer. You're going to get through. This season's going to pass. So we want to look for the light at the end of the tunnel. Keep our eyes on Jesus because you're going to get through this. You get your eyes on the sickness. You get your eyes on the destruction that's going on around you. And you've got your focus on the weeds, not on the wheat. By the way, according to this parable, God's focus is not on the weeds. He's not worried about it. His focus is on the wheat. He's making strong believers in the world today. Look at this verse in 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord's not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness, but he's being patient with you, with me, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So as we are growing and maturing in the Lord, You know, we want to keep our eyes on Jesus. We can get up every morning saying, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I tell you what, you're going to find that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I mean, literally, we are influencing the world around us. That's what I want to bring you today. You know, most of you know that every Christmas Eve, I take groups of carolers into the bars. And we go into all the bars that are open on Christmas Eve in this town. And we sing Christmas carols. And then we go one-on-one praying for everybody in the bar. And we're allowed to do that. After all, we are now filling the bars. And some of the bars are advertising our coming because people want to come out to hear us sing. I don't know. We've never sang together before that night, but to receive prayer. Yes, they're in the bars. Now, some people have said, well, wait a minute. We have no business in bars. You know, why? Are you concerned that the bar is going to wear off on you? It's going to influence you? You don't have to be. They need to be concerned that we're going to influence them because the wheat is stronger than the weeds. When you're being fed, when you're being watered with the water of the word and you're making declaration, every time we sing, we're making those declarations. We're walking stronger than the temptation, the evil that the enemy is trying to bring around about us. It's when the enemy can isolate you into your fears and into your problems that he gets authority and power over you. Come on, somebody. You know what I'm talking about? So I want you to understand this in the context of the kingdom of God that is within you. I want you to turn now to Romans chapter 14. Now, this is one verse, I've got it up on the screen, that speaks about the kingdom of God, but it's just one verse in this chapter. I want to show you the context of this verse in this chapter, because it bears out this same thought. It says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. This whole chapter, it brings an argument of that day as to what we should be eating or drinking and what we should not, what's right, what's wrong about your diet, and also about what day to worship on. You know, we've heard that before. What day is holy? And then in the middle of it, in the middle of this chapter, we see this verse. The kingdom of God is not about what you eat or drink or when you worship, but it's about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Guess what? They're all invisible. Those things are invisible until they're manifested. When I see a Christian walking around with a down face, you know, and all down and depressed, I do not know that the invisible God is hidden in their heart until they manifest the presence of joy, the presence of love, the presence of faith, faithfulness, goodness, hallelujah, long-suffering with a smile. They're all the fruit of the Spirit, the character of God. And that's being manifested when the wheat is healthy. Now, I'm going to go back to the beginning of this chapter, Romans chapter 14. Accept the one whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. Enemy's trying to cause to get caught up in disputes. For God has accepted him. I'm down on verse 4. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. And the Lord is not so concerned about the weeds. He's concerned about the health of the wheat. It's maybe you and I that we get too concerned about weeds. But I'm going to tell you, you get your eyes on sin, you're bound to fall to sin. I've seen preachers pounding the pulpit on sin. Those preachers often fall to the sin that they're most focused on. Get focused on Jesus. You know, we want to see the forest, not the trees. The forest is the kingdom of God. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done until the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. We have a big vision. We want to win the world. Amen. The whole world. And greater is he that is in us. We have the influence. The world can't rub off on us. I mean, I've been told that there's even been some preachers that have told their congregations, do not go out into the bars with Pastor Phil. There's no place for you. You have no business there. Well, we got business there. We're not going to let the devil go unabated. We're going to get in his territory. And I'm going to tell you why. Because we carry that influence, the light of the world. I got to show you my picture up here. I want to show you another verse about the kingdom that says the kingdom of God, it can't be seen, but it's in you. And so we make that kingdom manifest. I'm going to show you. I'm still reading in Romans 14. Verse 5 says, one man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Every day is a Sabbath. I'm getting close to God every day. Every day I'm in worship and in prayer. But this happens to be the first day of the month. I still look at the seventh day as the Sabbath. I remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. And I worship on the first. It doesn't matter. That's my faith. I want you to get this today. For none of us lives to himself alone. It says, so whether we live or die, we belong to God. I'm skipping some verses here. You then, why do you judge your brother? Every knee will bow before the Lord. Verse 12, so then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. That's more important than judging your brother for, you know, the weeds in his life. And by the way, Jesus said to the Pharisees, why are you so focused on the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye when you've got a plank hanging out of your own? You know, there's a parable for you. But then he's, and then look at that. And then we come into this one comment about the kingdom. For the kingdom of God is not a matter, verse 17, not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 18. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. Wow. That's what I want to be. Dad, that's what I want to be. Pleasing to God and approved by men. And you know, that influence of the Holy Spirit in you, it's not only for you, but it's irresistible to others. I was telling the early service here this past week, I got a notice in the mail that my homestead exemption had been revoked on my house. Oh, that's bad. But I couldn't understand why. Nothing had changed. So I made the call to the person on the letter and found out that they had sent something out to me. And, of course, I get my mail here, and so it might have gone to the wrong department or something. I never saw it, never filled it out. And so, boom, like that, I lost my homestead exemption. So I said, well, look, I said, nothing's changed on my house. And so, but anyway, this person on the other line was probably used to dealing with very cantankerous, you know, unchristian people. And so right away, you know, really got an attitude with me. But you know what I did? Man, I gave her a piece of my sanctified mind. And I wander over. And I told Jeanette, you know, that, you know, we're going to have to go before the tribunal, you know, some court, and there's all this paperwork to fill out and all that. And I knew I'd prevail because, you know, it's just, it was a fact. It was a fact. But I didn't want to have to go through all that. And so I just talked from the spirit, from the heart of God. That the power of God came forth, and I won her over, you know, and just had to fill out a little application. A few days later, got the letter in the mail that has been reinstated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Things go better with Jesus. Not just with Coke, but with Jesus. Amen. And so I want you to see the context of this. Look at the next verse. It says, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. Oh, let me reread that. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of vaccines. Whether you take the vaccine or you're not going to take the vaccine, you know, somebody asked me this week, you know, Pastor Phil, I heard that you took the vaccine, you know, and everybody's talking about it. Well, what if I had? It's really none of your business. I didn't, but it just goes to show you how the word of mouth gets out there. But I've been encouraging people to take the vaccine, people that feel they have more hope, you know, maybe higher in their health deficiencies. But let me read on. It gets better. It says, all food is clean, but it is wrong for man to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. You know, God's more concerned about you judging somebody else and getting all in their face about because they didn't do it the way you believe than he is about how they're operating in their faith. Read it, study it for yourself. It is better not to eat meat nor drink wine or do anything else that will cause your brother to stumble. So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. That's what it says, verse 22. And blessed or happy is the man who does not condemn himself by what he approves. But the man who has doubts or condemned, is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith. And everything that does not come from faith is sin. Listen, church. I'm more concerned about the debating where there's envy and strife. The Bible says in James, there's confusion in every evil work. I'm more concerned about that than whether people are taking the vaccine or not. I've said before, if I've got to take the vaccine to fly to the mission field or to fly to Israel, I'll take it. Because the Bible says I can take any deadly thing and it will not harm me. But I've said a year ago from the beginning of this, do not debate this stuff. It's displeasing to God. It's the weeds. And life is complicated. But we do not get our eyes on the weeds. We are feeding the wheat. We're feeding the presence and the power of God within us. And I don't know, maybe this message had to be heard by somebody. Maybe just one person in the house here today. But look at this. I show this picture up here periodically, the presence of God. And Dad, as you were talking about the wind, I said, you know what? I want to talk about the atmosphere. If you look up the word atmosphere in the dictionary, there's two definitions, and both of them can relate to the atmosphere of the presence of God around us. It says atmosphere means the envelope of gases surrounding the earth. Now, we were made of the earth, so this works. Or in other words, the air. It's also the pervading tone or mood of a place or situation. So you have atmosphere changing power because you can change the tone or the mood of a place or situation. And that's exactly what this definition means. And that's why Jesus said, Lord, have them pray this way. God said, have them pray this way. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Lord, let the culture of heaven be in me and flow through me. And so I want to say it's not only in you, but there's actually an envelope around you that you could say is like a force field. It's also the presence of God that makes your life irresistible and powerful to the world around you. When we're walking in the ways of God, we can change the mood or the tone of a room or in a relationship. Amen, somebody? Now, I want to show you how you do that. And what it is you think with your heart instead of your head. You think with your heart instead of your head. Now, my wife, in the past, in our marriage, you know, she would have concerns about our life, about our marriage, maybe about me. And she'd bring them to my attention. And I was wired, I'm wired in a way of being the answer man, you know. And so I wanted to say, well, honey, here's what's wrong. Let me tell you what's wrong. And I'm going to give you three steps that you can do, and it's going to all be all better. It's going to be fine. You know what? I discovered over a course of years that that's not what she was looking for. That if I wanted to change the atmosphere of what was going on right there, that really what she was wanting was me to just put my arms around her and say, honey, it's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. I love you. Hallelujah. And that's what the Holy Spirit in us is capable of doing. The same love of Christ that saved us, we're able to minister to somebody else. The same joy of the Lord. If we will understand three words, and I'm going to put them up on the screen. Atmosphere, order, and excellence. Atmosphere, that, if from a biblical standpoint, it's the presence of God or the glory of God, as we call it. And out of that presence comes the power of God. But atmosphere creates order. Now, order is the correction that God brings. Remember, the world is in chaos. Now, the world's under a curse, and we are people of blessing. We're able to neutralize the curse. The world is in discord. I could call my dad up here, and he could show you what discord means on the piano. But God's given us the ability to bring harmony to discord. And the world so desperately desires it. But then God goes beyond that. He goes beyond bringing correction. He also is a God of excellence. He brings multiplication. He brings fruitfulness. He wants us to be fruitful. That's why he prunes us. Even though we're producing fruit, he prunes us. Ouch, that hurt. Why did that happen? Because God says you're capable of producing more. Why did that sickness come up in my life? I don't understand, God. Because God wants you to grow in faith. Wants to see how you're going to go through, what you're going to talk about going through that sickness. I want to show you some biblical examples. I'll put them up on the screen. Here's a good one. Paul and Silas in prison. They're out preaching the gospel. And they get arrested, beaten up, thrown in jail. The deepest part of the prison where they put you when they're planning to take your head off in the morning. They're bound up in chains, stocks and bonds, it says in the Bible. They had every reason. I mean, the atmosphere was dark. It was very dismal. It was very hopeless. They had every reason to complain about something. God, why would you allow this to happen? But what did they do? They started praising the Lord, singing and praising the Lord. What they did is they changed the atmosphere, and God just simply brought order. You shouldn't be in those chains. Justice, order, boom. The chains fall off. The doors open up. But you know what? That's not enough for God. He wants to make a sign and a wonder out of it. So the jailer and all his family get saved and baptized, and you can be sure it made the news next day. And maybe everybody in that village heard the good news about a wonder-working God at work on planet Earth. And this is why this hour is the greatest hour for the church, because the world is in so much chaos. So out of injustice, pray and sing, change the atmosphere. God brings order, brings deliverance, and then excellence, even multiplication. And that's where we're living today. Let me give you another example. The woman caught in adultery. This was a matter of life and death. And the religious people, the Pharisees said, Moses' law says she needs to be stoned to death. But Jesus, you man of love and forgiveness, what do you say? So what did Jesus say? Nothing. Sometimes it's better just to shut up. Somebody's trying to draw you out and you're going to debate about something. Man, David just turned away from his older brother. Not going to engage that envy and strife and bring more confusion. Just walked away. But Jesus knelt down. When you kneel down, you got the Father's attention. He knelt down, started drawing in the sand. And then I can hear him saying, just real quietly, hey, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. The Bible says that all of the men that were there, from the oldest, the wisest, to the youngest, starting with the old, start dropping their stones. Here's what I see on the testimony of this story is the accused, through Jesus' love and forgiveness, she got saved, but the excellence, God always goes above. He's got a bigger plan. If we get stuck looking at the trees, we're going to miss the plan of God. You got to see the forest, not the trees. God, instead, he touched every one of those men that were there. That was the best sermon that they could have been preached, these religious Pharisees, you know. Instead, they got the message. They knew they were not without sin. They started dropping their stones. That's the kind of God that we serve. Here's another example. The man born blind. Remember, the disciples said, this is not fair. Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? This is not fair. There's a victim mentality in the world today. Who's the victim here? Jesus said, neither him nor his parents sinned. But Jesus said, this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. Think about that. Think of all the things that God has brought you through that you were, when you were going through, and man, they seem bad. You know, why did this happen? Why is this happening to me? But later on, you were able to help somebody else get through something that God had delivered you in. God's got the big plan. If we got our eyes on the weeds and we're not feeding and nurturing the wheat, if we feed and nurture the wheat, the weeds will be taken care of. But the enemy wants us to be pulling at weeds and fighting among ourselves. Here's another example. The woman at the well. Jesus starts talking to the woman at the well. Hallelujah. And remember the story. I want to say it created a religious debate. Jesus is talking to her about living water. She's not getting it. And finally, Jesus says, look, go get your husband and come back. She says, I don't have a husband. And then Jesus, pulling from that wealth of the gifts of the Spirit that all of us have today, gives her a word of knowledge. He says, you're right when you say you don't have a husband. The fact is, you've had five husbands, and the man that's living with you right now is not your husband. Now this woman says, wow, wait a minute. I discern that you're a prophet. You're a man of God. So let me ask you about a religious debate that's all over town. Should we be worshiping on this mountain, on Mount Gerizim, or should we be worshiping in Jerusalem, on the mountain of in Jerusalem? And Jesus says, woman, the time is coming, and now is, when you will worship in spirit and in truth, and you won't be making debates. You'll just be feeding the wheat and not worried about the weeds. Folks, that's where we are right now. If the church of Jesus Christ wants to rise up, we got to keep our eyes on Jesus. The things that we can debate and argue about are going to keep increasing. If it's not COVID or the vaccine, it's going to be something else constantly. Why do we have our eyes on this stuff? You know, it grieves me when there are people that are walking strong with God that get sick. I don't like that either. It makes me upset because I preach and I believe that sickness is not authorized in the kingdom of God. Sickness is not authorized in this temple of the Lord. But God's ways are not our ways. If God, you know, I don't believe anything can happen to me that God doesn't allow, because the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And so something happens, I'm going to just keep, I get thrown in jail. I get thrown in the hospital. I pray that I'm going to have the faith, the courage of Paul and Silas and just be rejoicing my way through it. How about you? What a way to go. What a way to go. If you missed Wednesday night, a couple weeks ago, I told the story of how one time I thought I was going to go, that I was going to be a martyr for Christ on the mission field while sitting on the toilet in an outhouse. It was a desperate situation. You'll have to get the tape. I don't have time to tell it again. But I've often thought maybe I would go on the mission field. But it crossed my mind at that time. I said, Lord, you know, seriously, in an outhouse, you know, sitting on the pot, you know, this is not glamorous at all. I was thinking, you know, martyrdom, you know. But the point is, God has a plan. That's the big picture. We're part of it. And we need to make sure and keep our eyes on Jesus. I'm not there yet, honey, so don't start playing yet. The early service, I tell them to play because but this service is like a sausage. I can cut it off anywhere I want, but this service I don't want, okay? So don't leave because you're going to miss the best part here, okay? Jonah and the great fish. Now, the thing about Jonah was rebellious. Is there any rebellion in the world today? You know, Jonah had the call of God upon his life, like a lot of people do today, and he decided he wasn't going to receive it. So anyway, judgment came to Jonah. God's kind of judgment. God didn't kill him. He just made life really bad for him. When you get swallowed by a big fish, that's really bad. It's a bad day. But you know what it did? It put Jonah on his knees. And for the first time, Jonah cried out to God and said, God, I will fulfill my vows. Lord, just deliver me. And God did. He delivered him. He recommissioned him. He came to his spiritual senses. Remember the prodigal son? He had to be turned up in a pig pen before he came to his senses. And then he lost the rebellion. Listen, if you're praying for your sons or daughters that are out making all the bad decisions right now, take heart. But it might have to get worse before it gets better, before they come to their spiritual senses. We want to help them. And I'm so guilty of that. You know, I want to help people because I figure, you know, they can figure this out like I have, and it's all going to be okay. But sometimes they got to get swallowed by a whale and things get really bad before they come back and they say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God's got a big plan. Get your eyes off the weeds and just keep focused on him. Here's another example. Jesus, when he turned the water into wine. You know, this was a big deal in those days, but the part I like about this is where the servants come to Jesus' mother, to Mary, and says, look, can your son do anything? This is bad. And so Mary goes to Jesus and talks to him about, you know, the fact that they're out of wine. And Jesus says, woman, why are you involving me in this? You know, my time has not come yet. It's not time for me to do miracles yet. So she says, okay. She goes back. The servant says, what did he say? I can hear her saying, never mind what he said. Just do whatever he tells you to do. So they go to Jesus and they say, what shall we do? And I can see Jesus going, oh, man. You know, a soft, humble heart, you know, that wants to obey. I can't pass that up because the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro looking for somebody whose heart just wants to obey. And Jesus says, okay, we'll fill all the pots. You know, there were six of these huge 20 or 30 gallon pots. Fill them all with water and then go serve the master of ceremonies or the master of the whole party. Go serve him a glass of it. Now, those servants could have said, no way are we going to do that, or we're going to be dead. This would not be good. We wanted you to give us some wine here. You know, he said, fill them with water. But they obeyed him. And you know the rest of the story. The master of the party said, this is the best wine. Why'd you save it to the last, the best wine that we had? Look at that. Atmosphere was changed through obedience. And then God brought the creative miracle, but then everybody, God's bigger picture. Whatever you're going through, you might think you just need God's help for you. No, God wants it to be bigger than that. He's a God of multiplication and increase. We got to stop worrying about the trees. Get our eyes on the forest, the kingdom of God. And by the way, that prayer that we pray, let us, give us this day, our Father. God's got us all in this together. Are you with me today? Here's my question to you. I'm putting it up on the screen. What are you doing to change the atmosphere in your situation? What are you doing? So I'm going to help you answer that, because you can do some things to change the atmosphere in your life. Remember, life comes with weeds. Here's a scripture for you. 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your work to the Lord and your thoughts shall be established. You know, church, I've preached on this before, but it all starts in the battlefield of the mind. And that's why the Bible says that as a man thinketh in his heart, we got to think with our heart. And the weapons of our warfare, this scripture starts out with in verse 4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty. They're mighty. If we can cast down imaginations, that's our warfare. Cast down our stinking thinking. You know, and guard what comes out of our mouth. Bring every thought into the obedience of Christ, and let your thoughts be established. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Here's a verse I love so much. Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's something supernatural. Renewing of your mind, that you may be, that you might prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So we're all about the need for us to think with our heart and renew our mind. I'm going to just make a couple declarations here and make some comparisons. Religion prepares men to leave the earth. Kingdom empowers man to take dominion of the earth. Religion focuses on heaven. Kingdom focuses on earth. Religion wants to escape earth. Kingdom wants to impact, influence, and change earth. Religion is reaching up to God. Kingdom is God coming down to men. Religion seeks to take earth to heaven. Kingdom seeks to bring heaven to earth. That's why we talk about kingdom, and that's the big picture of God on this earth. He's big enough to rule this mighty universe, yet He lives in our heart. Hallelujah. And He wants to, He's chosen to do it through us. He changes us, and then we walk in this atmosphere that's life-changing to others. I'm going to close on this. Stop pulling weeds and start cultivating the presence of God, and watch Him grow and grow. Let me tell you, when God grows in your life, He takes care of all that other stuff. It'll choke out the roots of the weeds, and that's really where they got to be dealt with when Christ grows in our heart. And I'll give you one bonus scripture, okay? One bonus scripture, because this will take a whole another lesson. But James 1, verse 2, 3, and 4, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith, and that's what it is, the weeds, the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Focus on the wheat, my friends, not on the weeds. Remember the parable of the weeds. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. I've asked the worship team to help us with this song today, to make it as a declaration. I have to listen to this song periodically because it says it's a new season. It's a new way. A fresh anointing is coming my way. And I'm declaring that for our lives in this new normal. You know, if we're going to do anything different, it's going to be that we're going to be more focused on Jesus than we are on the chaos of the world around us. I want you to see that light at the end of the tunnel and believe your season's going to change. That even though you might not understand why or what you're going through, that God's got a plan. Hallelujah. Father, I pray. In fact, put your hand on your heart right now. Father, I pray that you'll give us the ability to think with our heart, as a man thinketh in his heart. Lord, let us think with the heart of Christ. Lord, you said we have the mind of Christ, and you live in our hearts. Lord, I pray, give us the ability to speak what we believe as we think with the heart of Christ. And Lord, I pray, change our hearts, oh God. Lord, give us vision now for a new beginning. Lord, even tomorrow we get up and we start thinking differently. We start speaking differently. And I pray that for each one. And if there's somebody here that you're not sure of where you stand with Christ, just receive him right now with your hand on your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, let's all say it. Let's all say it. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Possess me. Empower me. Fill me with your spirit. And lead me in your ways. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. You rose from the grave. And now your spirit can live inside of me. So come into my heart. Fill me with your spirit. I confess you now as my Savior and my Lord. In Jesus' name. Well, it's a new season. Hallelujah. For everybody here today. Hallelujah. Let's make that declaration.